flying clothesline, a 2x4 to the face. Then she hits you with a turnbuckle splash. Wrestle Club Podcast. Whisakisa. It's her and her friends. And they talk about wrestling, every kind of wrestling.
Ladies and gentlemen, everyone in between, we are back. It is Wrestle Club UK. My name, as always, is Sakisa, the head of the table. And we are back with a very special episode. And I'm very glad to be joined by our very good friend, Mr. Mark Cram.
Introduce me right or don't introduce me at all.
It's the main event, Mark Cram.
Thank you. It's good to be back. Did you miss me? I missed you.
Oh, bless
not
you.
Not the others, though. I missed
not
you.
Not the others.
And only you. The others. That's why the others aren't back for this episode. It's just me, you, and a TNA superstar.
Yes. We have got a very special guest on this episode, but we'll get into that in a minute because we've had a very special week in general. Well, before we get into the Rumble, a couple of things have happened. WWE's on Netflix.
WWE is on Netflix, which has really brought down my subscriptions by $9.99 a month. And to be honest, my flatmate plays for Netflix at the moment, so this is just free wrestling for Cram, baby.
Oh, I've had to purchase it.
I will. I'm moving soon, so I'm going to have to purchase my own Netflix, but that's fine. I can afford that. I'm doing very well in comedy.
Yes, you are. You're doing amazingly well.
Going really great.
I basically had to purchase it for Rumble. On my way, I went to go see Bullet for my Valentine, and I was like, oh, we can't not watch the Rumble. So I purchased it on the way back home.
You have the whitest music taste.
Fuck off. Go away. Bullet for my Valentine. You know, I'm a massive emo.
I know. Okay? That just backs up what I'm saying.
Wait, emos can be black as well. Skindred.
They can be, but, you know, I feel demographics do shift.
Skunk and Nancy
are great. You've got a good music. I agree with your music taste, largely. We like a lot of the same bands.
Yeah.
But I am very white, so...
I've got the excuse.
I'm alive. What you're doing is cultural appropriation.
Oh, no! Oh, shit. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Also, as well, we've had some people move brands, which has been... Damian Priest is on SmackDown.
The Wyatt's on SmackDown. Miz is on
Wyatt's
SmackDown.
Wyatt's on SmackDown.
Mm. AJ Styles has gone to Raw. AJ Styles is back as well, if you've not seen the Raw.
AJ Styles is back in.
Yeah. Can't remember who else has gone to Raw. Logan Paul's gone to Raw. It feels a little bit like they're putting the bigger stars onto Raw.
I wonder why. I wonder why. Well, let's kick it. Oh, also, we've had someone new join us on WWE. Penta.
What do we think of the Penta? I mean, they're bigging him up like he's a big deal, which is great. Yeah. I think if they keep going like they're going, people are going to get quite bored of the presentation quite quickly of him just coming out, having a decent match with someone and then leaving. I think it'll run thin. They're going to need to start giving him a bit more flesh out as a character and things he's going to do. But in Royal Rumble season, I think you get away with that because everyone knows what he was going to do at the Rumble. He had a good showing at the Rumble as well, 42 minutes, Iron Man. It was good. I think I like him so far. Do you feel like we're treading a little bit of water until his brother's able to come?
I do feel so, but also a friend of mine, we were talking about Penta, and he basically called him the botch machine.
First of all, I hate the word botch.
I know.
I think when we make a mistake at our job, people don't shout out botch us or you fucked up. When we fuck up at our job, they just don't laugh, which is painful, but like not, you don't go to someone's office and scream at them every time they mess up.
No.
I think he's wrestling a higher risk style. He's always going to have issues. And also I think you find a lot of people transitioning from a lucha background, and this is why Rey Mysterio is so impressive, is working. They work the other side of the body their entire lives growing up, and then they have to come to America and work the complete opposite way around. So exactly. So the same thing happened with Mystico coming in as Sin Cara. You know, there's a lot. I don't think there's been loads of botches from Penta yet, though. To be honest, not in WWE anytime soon.
I quite enjoyed his presentation within WWE, but I do agree, like, after a while, it's going to get a bit boring. And what I really don't want is for them to lump him with the rest of the Mexican wrestlers.
I just feel like Dragon Lee's days are numbered. Now they've got Penta. But although he wasn't a tag match for Rey this week, but like Dragon Lee, I think he's going to lose a lot of the potential he had to Penta, is now going to be above him if you're looking for the Mask Luchador spot. Because I think they'll do Rey versus Penta at some point. You know, I don't know if they did it in the Rumble, but it'll be a pay-per-view match at some point.
Yeah. Speaking about the Rumble, let's kick into it now. The Rumble had 4 matches. One of them I did not care about in the nicest possible way.
I feel like if you're gonna say the tag match, aren't you? And yeah. I think that was a good match. I think that I'm a big Motor City Machine Guns fan. I think it was. I mean, I think any mid card match or a Rumble always, especially now we've got 2 Royal Rumbles. I think anything struggles. Yeah. That's a mid card match. Because you have everything's built around the 2 Rumbles, and the Kevin Owens Cody Rhodes feud is so hot that everyone was going to have energy for that. But I feel like putting any other match on that show is very, very difficult. So I think they did a decent job, especially 2 out of 3 falls. I don't know why that was the idea, but I think they did. I think the match itself, like quality wise, was actually really good. I didn't like the finish. I feel like there was no need to run the Street Profits angle the way they did it. I come out of that not knowing if the Street Profits are heels or faces. So
this is the thing. Like, I kind of was like, oh, the Street Profits are going to finally turn heel.
I thought it was that, or the Machine Guns were going to turn heel, because it would turn out the Machine Guns would actually attack the Street Profits rather than DIY. But
yeah.
Then the crowd were cheering them at the end. So I'm sort of like, I don't really know what they're supposed to be. Well, I guess we'll find out on SmackDown. But I thought it was decent. Yeah. I thought it was a good match. I thought, like, I mean, it's better. They're four very good workers. You know, Gargano, Ciampa, Shelley, and Sabin are all, you know, long-term veterans, very, very good at what they do. But I think you're right. There was, on that night, I think if it had been any other PLE, it would have got a better reception. But I think on a Royal Rumble pay-per-view, that's a really difficult spot to be in.
It is definitely a very difficult spot to be in. And Well, they were the second match on the card. The first one was the Women's Royal Rumble, which we opened with Liv Morgan and Io Sky being number 1 and 2. And they both lasted very well, actually. But apparently, it turned out I thought it was Liv that got Iron Woman. Turned out to be Roxanne Perez.
Yeah, Roxanne came in
at number 3.
Yeah, Roxanne, because she was in to the very end. I mean, what a showing that is for Roxanne Perez. I feel like this was a good one. I mean, I feel that the problem was it was kind of an inevitable march to who was going to win it, because I think we all knew that it was going to be Charlotte Flair. There was no way she was coming back in to not win. And I think I'm a bit cold on Charlotte Flair. And even though she's been gone for a little while, I'm still quite cold on Charlotte Flair. And I don't know if that's... she seemed to get some cheers when she won. So I think there is a clamour to see her versus Rhea again. I have no interest in seeing her versus Tiffy, really.
I have a feeling it might be that, because I'll tell you what I really want, and I don't think it's going to happen this year, annoyingly again, is Bianca versus Mammy.
Yeah, but I feel there's so much has to move around for Bianca to get into that position. So something's going to happen with the Jay Cargill situation.
Yeah.
So you assume that's going to apply as well. I reckon it's going to be Bianca or Naomi has attacked Jade, right? I thought that's going to be the payoff there. But I think the match itself, Jordynne Grace making her official WWE debut. Now she's part of the roster.
Yes, they did announce it in the Rumble that she is officially is WWE, which is nice to hear. I think she was the only one TNA-wise that was in the match. Everyone else was more NXT and surprise returns, which included Alexa Bliss.
That was a huge pop. That was probably arguably the biggest pop of the night. I think
biggest it was pop. I think with no the one jacket was, as well.
Oh, that was great. I mean, lovely nods to Bray Wyatt. It's great to see Alexa Bliss back. I mean, she's over as fuck. Like, the crowd want Alexa Bliss to be a big deal. I do worry that this is, again, kind of a one-and-done Rumble spot for her, because I'm still not sure what her contract situation is and what's going on with that. I know there's all the rumors that she's holding them up for too much money. I don't know how true that is. It sounds like a lot of internet bullshit to me. But I think that crowd reaction, I think, guarantees her whatever contract she fucking wants.
Exactly. But also there was, as always, a surprise number 30, which I thought was going to, I think as most people thought, was going to be Becky Lynch, ended up being Nikki Bella.
Yeah, I could collectively feel the disappointment of a lot of people when Nikki, I think it's the most disappointing number 30 I've seen since Rey Mysterio in the Daniel Bryan Rumble. I don't see the value in bringing Nikki Bella back, really, at this stage. I think that Total Divas audience is kind of gone now. It's not really, it's quite a while since it's been on TV. I feel like they weren't bringing Becky Lynch back just to not win the Rumble. So I think that was the idea.
Yeah.
So Becky will be back before Mania, but I don't think she was coming back just to not, to have Charlotte beat her was not something that they were going to bring Becky Lynch. Especially as the real life animosity between those two supposedly is quite big. I can't imagine Becky was like, on my first night back, I'm not putting over Charlotte. So, yeah, I imagine Becky will be back before Mania to do something. I think Trish Stratus popping up in the Rumble was always nice.
Oh, yes.
I mean, it's getting less and less now because she's doing it every year and you're like, okay, it's Trish again. It's nice to see you, but we could probably do without that for a couple of years now, I think. No Lita this year, though. So we're down to one of the two now.
Speaking about female returnees, I'll tell you who's been nice to see pop up recently, more prominent on TV, Stephanie McMahon.
No comment.
Oh, wow.
I mean, like, I don't mind her in the role she's in now, but when she's like playing a heel authority figure, I think she's so damaging to the show. Because, like, she'll just slag off the guys and the guys can't do anything physical to her, so she'll just slap people and they'll just stand there and it completely... She did it to Roman Reigns. It just completely cuts off the balls of his push, you know, because it's like, oh, okay, well, I'm just going to stand there and take that because I have to. Because the days are gone where Stone Cold Steve Austin could stun her. Well, like, rightly so. I mean, you don't want to be glorifying violence against women, but, you know, Stone Cold Stunner is a Stone Cold Stunner. But, yeah, I'm not pleased to see her back, but... I mean, as long as she stays in the role she's in now.
I think she will. I don't think there is any intention of her being pushed into a different role within WWE.
Yeah, I don't want her to be a character, basically.
No. How do you feel about the overall winner, Charlotte Flair?
I mean, you can't argue with her legacy, can you? I mean, she's done everything. She's been gone for a while. It is a big deal she's back, even if I personally, I'm not that bothered. I think it's a big deal she's back, and she's obviously going to be in a title match of Mania. So this is the cleanest way to do it. You haven't got to manufacture a feud for her that isn't there. You just say, you won the Rumble, you can do what you want. Yeah. And it kind of makes sense for her to pick Eva because she's one-on-one with Rhea. So for me, that's the story you should tell. It's right. Who goes 2-1? It should. If Rhea Ripley loses to Charlotte Flair at WrestleMania, I'd be really annoyed. Tiffy, it makes sense because it's like the new girl versus the legend. But I don't know how you feel about it. I just don't really want to see it.
No, me neither.
So I think for me, it's Rhea.
Yeah.
I mean, they had an absolute belter of a match last time they did it. So.
And it would be the third one.
So it makes sense as a trilogy, especially if you're going to put Rhea over. I think, you know, really establish Rhea as she is now this generation's like top girl.
Yeah. We did talk about the tag team match really briefly, but it was 2 out of 3 falls. Obviously, DIY came out as the winners.
You love the first fall. Love the way they got that. The fake tag stuff is really... I like that. It's an old school sort of tag move. You don't see it done too often. So, yeah, that was a good, clever way to get the first fall for the heels to pick up a fall without having to use their finish.
Yeah,
my problem with a 2 out of 3 falls match is when you see the Machine Guns win their fall with the Skull and Bones, you know they're not winning the match because they've won because they won with their finish. So it's never going to be both falls.
Yeah, exactly.
But it was good. I thought the ring stuff that they did was great. I think the crowd were a bit flat for it, but I think that was after an hour long rumble. I think that's always going to go.
We then went into the championship ladder match between Kevin Owens and Cody Rhodes, which for me was the match of the night.
Oh, it was great. Kevin Owens is, I mean, arguably right now the best all-rounder in professional wrestling. I think on the form he's on at the moment, the match quality he's having, the character work he's doing, the t-shirts he wears and every little detail of what Kevin Owens does right now is absolutely amazing. Not to spoil Raw, but it looks like we're going to get him and Sami Zayn into Mania, which is,
yeah.
I think, or at least into an Elimination Chamber in Toronto, which is going to be amazing. I mean, I've heard rumors they'll wrestle in Toronto in a normal match. That'll go to like a DQ finish. And then they might do a Hell in a Cell at Mania, I've heard, is a possibility. Which would be an incredible thing for those. I mean, let's face it, they will kill themselves in a Hell in a Cell because they both don't know how to not go all out, especially against each other. I mean, look at some of the spots Kevin Owens took in this match, like the backdrop onto the side of the ladder, the power bomb through at the end was insane. I mean, Kevin, the way he just sold it with his head like still inside the ladder at the end of the match, it was really, really good. Cody's got a good history in ladder match. You watched the Sammy Guevara one he had like right towards the end in AAW as well. It was great. Yeah, it was really fun. I agree with you. I think it was a match of the night.
Yeah. And then the spots at the end, the two ladder spots at the end, were ridiculous.
How Kevin Owens was able to walk around, come out the next night on Raw and pile drive Sammy was incredible. Like, he is tough, must be tough as nails. Both him and Cody, they took an absolute pasting. And it was, I liked it as a ladder match. I think why I really liked it as a ladder match, because they didn't do loads of crazy spots. They just hit a few really good ones and you remembered them. It wasn't just a bunch of crazy shit. They weren't jumping off the ladders constantly. It was a good storytelling match in what they did. I liked how they played the Zayn stuff into it at the end, where they teased he might do something, but all he did was show concern, which fits Sammy's character. You know, it's like, he's not interfering. He's just going, oh fuck, my friend's hurt. I'm going to at least check on him.
Yeah.
But the Kevin Owens, obviously can blame him for not stopping Cody Rhodes. So.
Yeah, we still have our Universal Champion Cody Rhodes, and that leads into the Men's Royal Rumble, which kicked off with Rey Mysterio and Penta.
I mean, that was great to see. The crowd popped hard. I mean, everyone knew they would. The crowd popped. Penta versus Rey is one of those things that I think they did wrestle in Lucha Underground or something. I think they have wrestled somewhere at various points, but they're not in front of a national audience. So it was really great to see. The crowd reaction to it was incredible as well. They had a lovely little sequence. I have watched about Penta's second foot doesn't touch the floor. It really is really good, but to me, it doesn't look like it touches. I know why they didn't show the replay, but I don't think that second foot does touch. I think he actually gets it spot on. So anyone saying he botched that, I don't think he does. I think it's just so tight that they weren't comfortable showing it again and again. But if you actually go back and watch it, I don't think that second foot touches the floor.
I didn't think so in the first place, but...
No, I didn't. I think they nailed the spot, and I think they had a really good opening sequence. I'm surprised they went so close on so many elimination spots for Penta early on, given that he was supposed to last 42 minutes. It's like, if he had fucked one up, it would have been an issue.
We did have, I think, only one surprise return, which was AJ Styles, if I'm correct.
Well, it's not a return. Well, I suppose it could be a return, but we also had Joe Hendry.
Oh, yeah, so Joe Hendry was obviously our surprise TNA member.
I mean, which was nice. I think everyone knew it was going to happen.
Yeah.
But it was good to see it happen in the crowd. I really enjoyed Sheamus it's like just enjoying it in the corner and clapping along and then having a go. Who was it attacked, Joe Hendry? I can't remember, but Sheamus had a go at them for interfering.
It was like, I was enjoying that.
Yeah, I really liked that touch. I thought it was nice, you know, because they're Celtic friends.
I'll tell you what was interesting. There was not any NXT men.
I think you're right. Yeah, there was no NXT men. I was surprised we didn't get a Trick. Williams or even an Obafemi. But I suppose they can't use Obafemi because they have sort of established that you can challenge for an NXT title because the women have done it in the Rumble.
Yeah.
So I guess you can't put an NXT champion in there. Not that the men's one will ever challenge for the NXT title at WrestleMania, but... I think Joe Hendry was done really well. I think AJ Styles being back is great to see. I feel like he's a bit of a spare part right now. It's going to be, it'd be interesting to see if they can find something for him to do going into the season.
I'm sensing a breaker moment.
I mean, that would be good.
I'm sensing breaker.
AJ Styles versus Bron Breakker for the IC title at Mania is a match.
Yeah.
I mean, Bron Breakker's great, but... I think you're going to get the best Bron Breakker match you've ever seen, potentially, if he's in there with AJ Styles, and it's given a 15-minute time, you know.
Yeah. We did have it come to John Cena versus... actually, before we talk about that, obviously there was talk about it probably going to be a CM Punk, but then he got taken out along with Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns. And then Seth Rollins decided he was going to do a stomp on the steel steps to Roman Reigns outside.
Well, let's face it, from going from that final six, where when they've had those six in the ring, it felt very predictable where we were going, because everyone was expected to be there. You had Cena was there, Punk was there, Rollins there, Reigns was there, and you knew that those... I mean, I expected McIntyre to go a bit longer, but that's a whole thing that's happened, yeah, apparently. Those four, you thought, were the ones, they're going to be the winner's going to come from those four ads. Like, and then Jay, and I mean, Logan Paul was going deep, but no one expects him to win it. And Jay Uso was just there because he's popular, right? And then suddenly Punk dumps out Reigns and Rollins. You're like, oh, fuck, it's going to go down to Punk and Cena. Then Punk's immediately thrown out by Logan Paul. And you thought, at that point, I thought, well, fuck it, surely they're going to go last to Paul and Cena eliminates Paul and really tease the fact that Paul's going to win it, you know. But if Paul goes out, you'd have to Jay. And then even at that point, I was still like, well, Cena's just going to eliminate Jay, and that's a bit sad, you know. Yeah. Because, and then, but then Jay, I mean, as Cena sells it, the shocked look on Cena's face when he's, the way it's just a shove as well, I think it's just perfect. Yeah. Like, it's not a big offensive move. He's just pushed him off in the back, and now Cena's like standing on the floor. It was a really nicely done elimination. The crowd went mad for it, and the live crowds are fucking acute. I mean, the internet's having a fucking meltdown about it, which I really enjoy. But all I'm saying is, watch the show week in, week out. And Jey Uso is Daniel Bryan in 2014. He's Kofi Kingston in 2019. You know, the crowd is fully behind him more than they are anyone else. Like, I know it's not what anyone's expecting to see. I know it's not what anyone arguably like thinks they want to see. And I assume we're going to get Gunther versus Jay, because I don't think they're going to go Jay versus Cody.
Correct.
So but that leaves us... I'm super happy for Jay. I mean, I've said before, I don't fully get it. Like, I don't think he's the best in ring. I think Jimmy Uso is a better worker than Jay Uso. I think Jimmy Uso is a better promo than Jay Uso. But Jay is over. Jay is charismatic as fuck. It might just be because he says yeet. But the crowd are super into it, so fuck it, they'd be stupid not to go with it. Like, and they've got two, and I think they have two world titles for this very reason, you know, so that they can stick to their main plan with Cody, and they can have Jay beat Gunther at a WrestleMania for a title. And I think he does eventually need to win one, or he needs to drop the main event name.
it was an interesting choice, I'm not gonna lie to you. Because realistically, when he does face Gunther, because it's probably going to be Gunther, is it that he's going to win, which is, for me, mental, or...
If he doesn't win, it's mad.
Or is it the fact that they're using him as a way to push Gunther? Because I don't feel like Gunther's run, and we can say this about people's first run in general, has not been the best.
I don't think that's his fault, though. I think the real sort of lack of credible challenges he's had on Raw has been because all the big stars have been sort of fighting each other rather than going for the world titles. So your Punk, Rollins, McIntyre feud has been the main thing. So he's been sort of left with Damian Priest, who I think massively has improved, but he's like a B-list main eventer. Jey Uso, the first time around without the Rumble win behind him, was again never felt like he was going to lose that title. I can't even remember who else has challenged him. It's just been like, but it's no one that you ever realistically thought was going to take the belt off Gunther.
Yeah,
Drew McIntyre again. That was the angle. Oh, that was Priest as well. That wasn't Drew. So it's been a kind of like, it's not his fault he's been presented as that, but I think every match he's had has been great. Like I think he's delivered in the ring every single time. It's very much going to depend on if this is actually going to main event one of the nights or not. Because I think there's a realistic chance this, even though it's a world title match, even though it's the Royal Rumble winner, I don't necessarily know if it main events. I think it should like main event night one. And I think
it probably will.
And an entire stadium doing yeeting to Jey Uso as a new champion. It's going to be a fantastic visual for them. It's going to look great. Like, you know, under the lights, it's going to be a fantastic end to the show. I mean, it's definitely night one. It's nowhere it's night two.
No, it's nowhere it's night two.
So what are you left with? So you've got Cody with a belt. We now know that he effectively, unless Jay chooses Cody, which I really can't see happening, effectively the winner of the Elimination Chamber is going to be facing Cody Rhodes at WrestleMania, probably night two.
Yeah.
And we've already known two of the participants after Raw. So Cena just gets in by being John Cena, as he said himself, which is, I don't have to qualify, I'm John Cena, which I think is fair. And then, and as we know, after Raw, CM Punk beat Sami Zayn. So CM Punk is in the results. You've already got two hugely credible choices. We know Rollins is in the qualifying match. We don't know what's happening with Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
It doesn't look like he's going to be wrestling at Elimination Chamber. So where do we go with all of this? So the answer is, you even, like, so Logan Paul's probably going to be in this Elimination Chamber as well, right?
Yeah.
So I think the setup is going to be, this is my prediction now, CM Punk is going to win. He is going to beat Seth Rollins at the end, maybe due to some sort of involvement from Roman Reigns. Maybe that's the favor from Paul Heyman. And also because Reigns wants revenge on Rollins for stomping his head twice. So Reigns will get into the chamber. Reigns won't be in the match, but he'll get in the chamber. I then think the other thing that's going to happen is Cena's going to be on an absolute roll. He's going to eliminate Logan Paul. Logan Paul's going to then attack Cena after being eliminated, causing Cena to get eliminated. So you get Logan Paul versus John Cena at WrestleMania. And so it's Punk, Cody, Paul, Cena, and then I think you go Rollins, Reigns, and they build that as like the finally they're going to settle what's been going on for however long, the 9 years, 10 years. I don't think that's necessarily the best combination of matches they could have done, but I think that might be where they're going to go.
It's normally when we get it from Rumble into Mania, we have at least like a thought about what's going to happen.
Yeah,
this has things up in the air.
The Jey Uso curveball was massively hit because I mean, me personally, I thought it was going to be Cena. You put him with maybe Gunther and he beats Gunther for a title. That's fine. Or you put him with Cody, which would have been mad because Cody would never have survived that as a babyface. But yeah, I thought they were going to go Punk Cody or even Reigns Cody and then do Punk Rollins again at Mania. But like the fact they didn't know Netflix debut was weird. I feel like, yeah, I mean, fair play to them. They've got us all guessing. I think it's nice to have a Royal Rumble, come out of Royal Rumble and not know exactly where we're going for the first time in forever. Because the Cody Rhodes story over the last 2 years has been dominating it. I don't think there's been a genuinely surprising Royal Rumble winner ever. Maybe Sheamus was a bit of a surprise.
Yeah. Yeah, you're correct.
I'm trying to think of anyone else who was surprising. No, I can't remember ever being actually shocked by a Royal Rumble.
No, I genuinely was shocked. I was like,
I mean, I've been annoyed at them before, like when Triple H won it or when Brock Lesnar came back. When Brock Lesnar came out of 30 and won it that year, I think everyone was a bit fucking pissed off. But I don't think there's been a truly surprising one in a long time. So no. This was good. It was good to see. I think it's left it so wide open now. I mean, they could still go Jay Cody and then fuck knows where we're going.
Oh, gosh.
Because if they go Jay Cody, then who the fuck do you put with Gunther? You put Cena with Gunther then? But then you've got I mean, they could still go that way. Cena Gunther works. But then
you've got
Punk, Rollins, Reigns, Logan Paul essentially to find something for them all to do. It's hard to find something of all these guys. I can only think Cena's, I think, the only one that's gonna CM Punk, I can't imagine, is gonna want to work a WrestleMania match with Logan Paul.
Yeah.
Reigns has already wrestled Logan Paul. Seth Rollins has already wrestled Logan Paul. So you're kind of in a situation where you do Reigns Rollins makes sense. Is Punk going to really not main event? Is he going to be fine with not main eventing Mania this year? But then it's Cena's last Mania. Should Cena be main eventing WrestleMania?
Yeah.
Roman Reigns arguably doesn't need another WrestleMania main event, but he's got about 15 now. I think he's now got the most. I think because now you count two night WrestleManias, I think he's the most WrestleMania main events now. So.
Yeah.
I don't know. What do you think? Where do you think they're going with it?
I don't know. This is the problem. I definitely think it will be Gunther Jay. That's the one thing I know from the Rumble.
Yeah, I agree with that. But I'm always intrigued by Jay Cody going that way. But like Jay Gunther is the way to go. The way and the promo Gunther cut on Raw as well, where he again just played down Jay about how disappointed he was. Yeah. So I think that it would look weird for him not to pick Jay to Gunther that.
Yeah. Well, we'll see it. We'll see what happens. This is what we like about WWE and wrestling in general. It always keeps us on suspense. So we'll see what happens when it comes to WrestleMania. But now, Oh, sorry.
I was saying, to all our listeners who love AEW, this is the time of year where you're not going to hear a great deal of AEW chat because we're on the road to WrestleMania, baby.
On the road to WrestleMania.
And this is, it's just the only game in town at this time of year. I mean, the AEW needs to do something big to get anyone's attention during this time of year, so they might as well just go into park while they wait.
Well, they're going to Australia next week.
I mean, great. Good for them.
Yeah.
I mean, one shout out we haven't talked about on the podcast is the Tony Storm
angle
in AEW has been so fucking good. The fact that WWE let Tony Storm go is incredible to me. Like, she's good in the ring. Her character work, as we've seen, she's Tony Storm playing Tony Storm, playing Tony Storm, playing timeless Tony Storm. This is, it's been an absolute masterclass as an angle. When she started talking in the ring, when she was laying face down, and I think the crowd popped massive for
yeah.
it. It's gonna be huge in Australia. She's obviously an Aussie, she's gonna over as fuck there.
If she doesn't win, it's gonna be crazy.
Oh, if she doesn't win, that's some of the worst booking I've ever seen.
Yeah.
You have to, even if you take the belt right back off her again afterwards, but that night she has to win. It's just, she is an absolute superstar. And I love what's happening in the first time ever. I'm loving what's happening in the AEW women's division, because if you look at them overall as in-ring talents, they do not match up to WWE's women's division right now. But they're actually doing a lot of character work now.
Yeah.
Which is really good to see. And I think, which is sort of the opposite of their men's division, where they just rely on being good in the ring and not so much character work. So it's good to see AEW actually playing to its strength. It's good to see Tony Storm doing something really fucking cool. And something different for AEW programming, where it's not just about, this is a really good match. No, it's a really good fucking angle. And it's a really good acting performance for Tony Storm. I loved it.
Well, speaking about outside of WWE, we're going to go into our special guest. It is the Clubhouse Chatter.
This is another Clubhouse Chatter. And this week we are being joined by hailing from Cleveland, Ohio. He is a multi-talented wrestler, writer, actor, and comedian. Please welcome to the club, currently signed to TNA, Ryan Nemeth.
Wow, thanks.
Thank you so much for joining us on your busy schedule.
Well, thank you for having me. So late in the recording. I'm on Pacific time, so that's West Coast US. You guys are almost midnight over there. Thanks for adjusting your sleep schedule for me.
Yeah,
I'm not gonna lie, I was watching wrestling.
Perfect.
I'm also here, Sakiza. Thanks for introducing me. Even though I'm always here, it's nice to be introduced.
I would have introduced you at the start of the episode, as we had always did.
What episode? I don't know what episodes I'm on nowadays. What else? I have been in the pub all afternoon. I've dialed back in to do a recording. It might be 3 p.m. Eastern time, it's 11 o'clock here where I am.
I think it's so authentic that I'm talking to people from the UK talking about being in a pub. I'm just wow, that's a real thing. It's real.
That's all we do. The weather is bleak here.
I've only been to other parts of Europe. I've not yet been to the UK, no.
Oh, well, wow. We've got to talk to some British wrestling organizations and get Ryan into the UK.
I would love to. I have so many friends from there, and my mother went there last year and said it was amazing. I would really like to go check it out. Yeah,
Progress, RevPro, everyone, if you're listening, let's get Ryan to the UK. Let's make this happen.
Let's make this work, definitely.
Yeah. I'd love to see Charles Dickens' burial site. And go say hello.
I've never seen that. Where is that?
I've never seen it myself.
It's in one of those, that big abbey, I think.
Oh, okay.
We can go together. We take a trip together. Check it out.
Yeah, there's some content right there. Yeah.
If anything, we're more into drinking in pubs.
I'm sure there's a pub nearby. There must be. Yeah.
We'll drop you off at Dickens' grave. We'll go to the pub. You can check it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You started training in 2010. Is that correct?
I think it's correct. I believe it is. It's fuzzy back then, but I remember I was in OBW then. So it's got to be true. Yeah, I didn't get to FCW until 2011. So probably, I mean, it was pretty quick, but short answer,
What made you get into the wrestling business? Was it your brother?
You know, I'd always liked watching it, and I would go with him and friends and family to see wrestling every chance we got, whether it was, you know, an independent show in Cleveland. We had Cleveland All Pro, and then there was ECW would come to Cleveland also. We always tell Tommy Dreamer about the first time we saw ECW live. We took our 10-year-old cousin to see it, and his parents thought we were going to see, you know, WWF or something. And there's just such foul language and blood, and, you know, it was horrible for a child to be there for. And so before we left, we got our cousin and said, you got to not tell your parents anything about this. And he was just watching it like silent with his eyes open, like, I can't believe what I'm seeing, you know.
That's crazy. They think they're getting the dumpsters drosy, and then they're getting Sandman. It's a very different vibe.
It was so vulgar. I was shocked, and I was a teenager. I couldn't believe a child being there, but it was so fun. There's people jumping off balconies and like missing, and there's blood and people saying, you know, curse words and all that. What did you ask? Why did I get into wrestling? I loved watching wrestling. I thought it was so great. Now, I was very into writing and performing and comedy and acting and all that. And I wrestled up until college, and then I started playing rugby. So I was very, you know, creative and then very athletic. I was kind of like a dual person there. And right when I went off to university, my brother started training at OVW. And so they were about 2 hours apart. So on Wednesday nights, me and my, you know, friends from the rugby team would hop in a car and pile in and just drive and go see his OVW matches. And seeing it in that very small, intimate setting was crazy to me, because it was, you know, WWE contracted talent. Oh. In this tiny little training ring with an arena that didn't hold that, you know, a couple hundred people. I was blown away by this. And when I saw it that up close, I started to think, maybe there's some world in which I do this, you know? So I will be very open and tell you, I did not grow up wanting to be a pro wrestler at all. I thought that was an insane, that was never on the spectrum of things, you know? My older brother did, you know, he wanted to do that since he was five, and everything guided him. He guided his entire life based on that goal. I did not, you know, and I would go visit him in Tampa when he was training in Florida in FCW. And I at some point moved to Chicago because I really wanted to pursue sketch comedy acting and comedic writing and all that. And while I was doing that, he came with, I think, SmackDown did a show there. And I went to go see him wrestle. And afterwards, we were eating at a diner. And I started to ask him, like, hey, I might want to start just giving it a shot, you know, just see what it's like. And I know there's some schools in Chicago. I was looking up Ace Steel and all that. Mm. And I really wanted to take it seriously. I didn't want to, like, half-ass anything. Then Ace Steel, I think, had stopped training by then. He had moved. I think he was maybe in Louisville or wherever he was. And so I spoke to him, and he said, you know, I was trained mostly by Lance Storm and Rip Rogers. And if you can go to one of their schools, that will be your best bet at this time. And I was weighing the two, and it seemed a lot easier to do the one that was in America, because Lance Storm's school was in, I don't know how to live in a different country, you know, just randomly show up there at the time. So I decided to, my plan was to move to Louisville and start training at OVW. And, so I came home one day I went to my girlfriend's house one day, and I said, hey, we got to talk. And this was in Chicago. And she said, she worked nights as a nurse, and she had a really gravelly voice. And she looked at me and said, let me guess, you're going to move out of Chicago and start wrestling with your brother. I guess we don't have to talk. You nailed it. Yeah. I'll never forget that moment. She just perfectly, you know.
One quick question to interject, because I don't get to ask this question of Americans a lot as a British person. You mentioned you were a rugby player.
Yes.
Yes. So was that mainly sevens? Were you doing 15s? And what position were you in rugby?
I went off to Xavier University. Usually I'm wearing the jacket. Thanks. The one time I'm not. And the only friend I had there who was a senior, he said, you ever played rugby before? The first day of school, I said, I don't even know what that is. And he said, okay, you're going to join the team. And I said, all right. I didn't know. I knew what it was. And there's no way that what we were doing is anything comparable to anything in Europe or around the world, you know, but we had a blast. I loved it. I played outside center for 4 years. I was on the B side the first year, and then my friend who convinced me to join the team got injured very quickly in the season, and I just got thrown in there one day halfway through the game, and then I was the main outside center for four years. I loved it. For me, it's a very confusing game. There's so many rules. It's so foreign, but I knew that my job was to, when that guy has the ball, tackle him, and then if you get the ball, run. You know,
As long as you're staying out of the scrum in the front row, you don't have to. What goes on in there is the dark arts, and no one needs to know. But
lift each other up and do that, and have the secret plays and all that. Yeah. Even on my team, I'm like, I don't know what they're doing, but do we have the ball yet? Okay, not tackle that.
Focus. Yeah. Did that help you in wrestling? Because obviously it's such a physical game, rugby.
Well, it did, because I had never played American football ever in my life. I mean, with my friends in the front yard, you know, at home. But so aside from, Olympic style, collegiate style wrestling, I had never done like a contact sport ever. So I'll maintain this. In any sport I played, you know, traditional wrestling, pro wrestling, or rugby, I think high school wrestling practices were the by far hardest thing I've ever done ever, and nothing has been harder than that ever. But I got a few concussions in rugby, and that, and also, you know, they had me kind of, I don't know if this is common around the world, but on our team and kind of in our division in college, if someone was cheap shotting someone from the other team, I would be assigned to go like get revenge, you know.
Oh yeah, I was the person that would assign people to get revenge. I don't say.
Oh, okay, I was always being told to go do it.
Yeah, you protect people like me.
Yeah, I ended up getting punched in the face a lot, and so that prepared me for wrestling. You know,
it doesn't show. You're still so pretty, even after all this time.
Thank you. You know, it's so nice. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, you would never have thought you'd been punched in the face several times over the years. It's kept intact very well.
Thank you. I try to take care of it.
So you do, and so you do. We obviously were talking about you didn't want to be a wrestler when you were growing up, and obviously you have had different creative fields. Because I'll do my little research. When you started wrestling, did you just release the book, I Can Make Up With Any Girl Hair?
It came out... you know, it's funny you asked that. Yesterday, I was kind of reviewing my life, and my girlfriend walked in the room, and I said, you know that I forgot that I had a book published? You know, that's a pretty big accomplishment for a young man. You know, I was kind of young when that happened. It's something that was so long ago. And it had come out in paperback a few months, I think, before I started training. And so when I had a tryout, with WWE, I had a match, you know, and then cut a promo. And then I went over to the head of talent relations and handed him a copy of the book. And I said, I also wrote a book, you know, I'm pretty multifaceted here. And he stared at me and said, you wrote a book? Wow. And I thought, like, all right, you know, no one else did that at the tryout. And a friend of mine went to I think Raw was in Louisville the next day, and he talked to me and said, I went to TV and I went to the office, and your book was sitting on the table. That's a good sign. And I was like, yeah, dude.
Who was head of talent relations at the time? I'm trying to picture who you were handing a book to.
John Laurinaitis.
Oh, yeah.
Imagine the voice saying, you wrote a book.
It's weird. John Laurinaitis has got the same voice as your ex-girlfriend. That's a nice...
Oh, that's so great. I hope she's doing well. I wish her well. I think she's married with a family and kids and stuff. That's great. She's doing great, probably.
She's doing what? She's thriving since Techno Team 2000.
Had to get rid of me.
You just got to do an Instagram search. That's what you're going to do. Find out what's going on.
None of my...
Yeah, Twix, just because you stalk all your exes online doesn't mean everyone else does that. That's hey, fine.
Just being the crazy woman as I'm meant to be. Yes, I am.
That's why I'm on private from you now.
That's why you're blocked. Go away. Yeah. So you've written a book. You've also you starred and wrote in your own short film called Heel, which I'm assuming is related to your wrestling background and obviously... Well, tell us, what inspired you to make that story?
Did you not watch the film?
I'm not going to lie to you. I watched some of it.
and you got bored and had to move on. That's okay. That's a good review.
Well, I did watch some of it. And then I was like, I don't know whether it was really like your world or like, because you know how people write, when I write jokes, for example, it's an exaggeration of my world. And mm-hmm. I think Mark is probably the same. We all write jokes in terms of exaggeration of our world. Mm-hmm. As stand-up comedians and our stories are those. But when you look at someone writing like a film that they've put out, it feels sometimes quite personal, especially when they wrote and started it. But also I'm like, is this really your, is it creative or is it just like a mental breakdown? What is the...
No, I'll tell you, it's fiction, definitely. I'm playing a character. They're all fictional people. Any similarities to any real people is purely coincidental. I was at the time, kind of distraught with some things happening in wrestling that I was adjacent to that I had discovered. And I didn't know the best way to go about doing anything about it. And sometimes you can't for any number of reasons. I felt very paralyzed, you know? And I kind of just started typing one day and... You know, I wrote a very long version of that. So the film comes out to be 10 minutes, but the original, that was 12 pages. And I think I cut it down from like 32. I think it was like three times longer than that. So if you were bored watching that, just imagine.
Those words did not come out my mouth.
So I sent it to a director friend of mine, Maggie Levin, who's just wrapped up the Black Phone 2 with Scott Derrickson. You know, that's going to be cool when that comes out. Cool. So I think she was just finishing or starting her first feature film, My Valentine. And I said, hey, will you read this and just tell me if you think I have anything here? And she was like, do you have someone to direct this? Can I direct this? I want to direct this. I want to do one more short film and this would be it. And then I'm, you know, moving on to features. And I was blown away because that was, I was just wanting you to tell me, is this an interesting script or not? And she was like, I want this job. You know, basically I was, Very good feeling. And so, you know, I had to be very careful about it because many people were watching this and like reading into it and deciding that I had made a movie about myself. And I'm watching this thing. This is not me. There's literally a different name. The man's a massive drug addiction. He, you know, I don't know. There's all these. But I guess when you play yourself and it's a wrestling role, I will say that pro wrestling fans do not massively always excel at media literacy. Not in every case, you know? So I would get comments and emails that would say, so you made a movie about yourself beating up Joey Ryan?
See, I was reading about this, and that's genuinely something I read online. It's like I was reading on Reddit about people's opinions on it, and so many people were saying, "Oh, this character is clearly Joey Ryan." Like that came up time and time again.
If it was clearly Joey Ryan, it would be very clearly a little mustache. I mean,
that character would be way dirtier than
you know, things he was involved in. Abstractly or stronger and inspired the whole project. Sure, I won't deny that, but I didn't. It's not a biographical film. No, it's also it's like super specific what happens in it. And I'm thinking, you think you're watching like a documentary, I would be in prison. I think like it's not these things didn't happen, you know.
Well, you say that, but you listen to some of the interviews people give in the wrestling industry and they confess to stuff and you're like, oh, you're somehow... I mean, if you watch the Vince McMahon documentary and Tony Atlas, some of the things he says that's crazy. But I mean,
I will also say, because it's just popped in my mind, I have this, you know, most people I think like me, but there's a very passionate group that hates me just forever. And on this topic... There's also these accusations that I have tricked women into telling me their stories of being assaulted and then wrote a movie about it and exploited them and got rich off of it. And I'm like, that is so insane. First of all, taking a lot of credit away from me. I wrote the fucking movie, you know? So to say that I've stolen a story, and I would like to know whose story is this, because this, as far as I know, has never happened. Secondly, that is so cruel and awful to whoever you think I could have done that to. I wrote the script before I ever crowdfunded it at all. And so I don't know. I think there's like one or two kind of bizarre little podcast or maybe little, you know, writer guys who just have a bone to pick with me or something. I can't quite figure out why. And
I like to call them incels.
Yeah.
Well, the wrestling industry, on the internet and the podcast side is full of people who want to make stories and things that aren't necessarily there a lot of the time, I think. And
I'm very negative.
Yeah.
That angle is so hurtful and bizarre that I see it sometimes still pop up like, oh, that guy, the guy who stole the stories of women. And I'm like, also, you don't get rich from making a short film. I lost. there's no profit. You pay money to submit to festivals. You pay money to go to the festivals. You pay to make. I would love it if I got rich from any film I've done so far, but that's not a thing, you know? So anyways, I'm happy about the project. It's, you know, the crew was mostly women, mostly not white people, which I wanted to make a point of that. I thought, I know all these people were so talented and skilled and great at making things. And someone like me would always just hire their buddies who look exactly like them. And I wanted to not do that because I wanted Maggie to lead this project. And I wanted to be through the point of view of a director who's a woman. And it was. And I think we did an amazing job. And I think she crushed it. And I'm so damn proud of it. And if you ever watch more than the first 2 minutes, I think you'd like it.
I'm just kidding. I think it's great that you're doing projects like that. I think, like, especially when you work in a particular genre of entertainment, I think it's so easy to get typecast into that entertainment and not do anything else. It seems like you have a lot of other projects going on. It's incredible how you have the time for that when you look at your wrestling career, because you've wrestled everywhere. You know, you look at, you've done NXT, you've done TNA now where you are, like, and you've had stints in AEW, you've had stints in ROH, you've been in New Japan. You've basically ticked every box in terms of promotions you can wrestle in, and now you found a home in TNA.
For, like, don't forget Puerto Rico, don't forget WWC.
Get that Cologne action in as well, yeah. Like, so you've been there, so you've literally been everywhere. How do you find the time to balance wrestling and the other projects you want to do? Because as you said, wrestling wasn't your first love. How do you find time to find everything else?
It's not easy at all. It's extremely difficult. I have to make notes on my little notebook to remember things. I have to type notes in my phone, like just organization stuff. But also, you know, I probably once a month or every few months have this feeling of panic of like, you might die. Life could end at any moment, you know, especially when someone I know will get sick or die or anything like that. Oh. It's very, very present in my mind pretty regularly that life is short, unpredictable, and we have no control over it. So I want to jam as much in there as I can. You know, I really do. And if it could mostly be things that contribute positively to the world, I would prefer that, you know, but I do want to just do as much as I can before it's over, because you don't know when that'll be.
That's a really good way of looking at
it. It definitely is, because when we were obviously researching ahead of this podcast, one of our co-hosts, Richard, sent me that you were on an extra on the Jimmy Kimmel show 3 times. Is that correct? And then he sent me the clip, and I was like, I don't think that's you.
What's the clip?
The flip flop fairy.
That was the flip flop fairy.
I said, there's no such thing as a flip-flop fairy, and then Guillermo hits me in the face with flip-flops over and over again. Now, that was not an extra role. I had dialogue, and I was a principal star of that sketch. I've been on the Jimmy Kimmel Live show, like, I just counted, because I was going through updating my resume. I think I was on that show 32 times or something.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
20 times. Sometimes I am doing background work, but often they bring me in to do stuff like that, or... the last time I was on, it was when some billionaire was discussing he wanted to make the Olympics, but where there's no drug testing. And so they brought me in to do a sketch where I was basically naked, and then they enhanced my muscles to be like, it was like this big and my head was this big. And then it was like blurred out right between my legs. And they were saying like side effects may include like shrunken testicles or something like that. And it's really funny. I loved it. I thought it was so funny. They will message me every week or so saying, are you free this day? You're free this day. And even if it's background, I just love going in there, and I love the work, and I love being part of the acting union here, SAG-AFTRA. And sometimes it's a fun starring role in a sketch, and sometimes you're just doing stuff in the background. I don't care. If I can do it, I'll do it. I love that show.
So what's more fun to you? Is it that, or is it wrestling?
Well, I'll tell you that the other things hurt a lot less. Wrestling hurts. That's just, you just can't get around it, you know? I watched the Royal Rumble, well, part of it, with some friends yesterday. And a lot, you know, most of them don't know a wrestler in real life. And so when someone will say, like, hey, that's fake, right? And I'm just thinking, that guy just got thrown out of the ring to the floor. That hurts. That just hurts, you know? Or getting power bombed. That hurts, you know? The Cody Kevin Owens match.
Yeah. That power bomb for the ladder spot. That's not there. That's not fun.
And I did hear one friend say to the other, at least I think I didn't know these two people, like, I know they stuff is sometimes choreographed, but like, that guy's just bleeding, you know? And I'm like,
it must irritate you more than it irritates us, obviously, but when you watch wrestling and they're doing, there's real blood, and people, oh, they're doing like capsules or something. It's like, no, that's not what's happening.
Also, if you have a capsule in your mouth, wouldn't it just start going out?
Bleeding.
Like,
the whole time.
That's crazy. Me, myself, and Mark have had wrestling training.
Very little, very minimal.
But that was, oh my God, painful. Like, painful. Word. So we can appreciate.
Yeah, we took one bump and went home. That was pretty much our wrestling training. I remember
after the first night of training, the whole next day I had a migraine in my head and neck hurt. And I asked my brother, man, I think something really messed up happened to me. And he said, no, that's just what it is for the first few weeks. And he was right. That's just how it is for the first few weeks.
Yeah. The thing that got me is like how much running the ropes hurts. You didn't see that coming. That hurts your back so much.
Oh, it sucks. Yeah. The whole thing, no one should be doing it. It's not healthy.
but we still want to see it.
Yeah.
Just quickly, you mentioned the Rumble. We have to mention, because he was in the Rumble, your TNA champion, Joe Hendry, was in the Royal Rumble. Yeah. Did you catch Joe's bit in there?
You know, I think it's great that a champion and a representative and such a universally adored man such as Joe Hendry appeared in the WWE Royal Rumble. I think it really displays to the world the partnership between WWE and TNA, and that is great. I hate Joe Hendry.
We thought you might. He's a fellow Brit, so obviously we have a soft spot for Joe.
You know, but I didn't mind him so much until he started sticking his nose in my brother's business. I think he's a fraud. He's a two-pump chump. He's a phony, a poser, and a snake in the grass. And I don't trust him, and no one else should. But I think it was really great that he was in the Royal Rumble. Very, very cool.
But he did make a really complimentary video package about you a little while ago.
Oh, I haven't seen it. I'll check that later. I've not seen it.
He listed all of your accomplishments as he sees them, I believe, was his.
That sounds really nice. That sounds really cool. Yeah. I didn't know he did that. Thank you, Joe Hendry.
Obviously, we talked about your wrestling career, but also like the stuff that you're doing outside of creatively, which is actually quite impressive that you're trying to do two things at the same time. In terms of wrestling, how do you feel about people who were like doing the opposite, because obviously you went from being creative into wrestling, but people who are doing similar, the same, like who have come from not a wrestling total background. I'm talking like people like Bad Bunny, Logan Paul coming into the wrestling world. What do you think about how they are being? Do you think it's worth it? Is it just for the money?
It's tricky. I think it's always great when someone from a different sphere comes in and brings attention in their fans and, you know, gets a bigger spotlight on wrestling. But, you know, it's hard to say that as a blanket statement because there's so many things I personally find reprehensible and absolutely nauseating about Logan Paul's past and current and, you know, things he says and does. So if there is a measurable spike in popularity in wrestling for any reason because of him, that's nice. I don't think I have to say that I like him as a human, though, you know?
I'll happily say I don't like Logan Paul as a human being. I mean, I've got no skin in the game. Nothing's going to happen to me. I think Logan Paul's a dick. But
I think that it's interesting because it's perfectly designed to get a heel reaction But yeah, I think his brother and him are kind of weird, bizarre loser people who have gotten. Sorry, I don't know. Yeah. And when my brother and I are in Puerto Rico, when I had the bleached hair and he was very blonde, there was a few times when people, you know, the people on the island would say, "Oh God, is that Jake Paul, Logan Paul?" And I would think, "No, God, dude, no, just please, no, don't even like that. That is the worst thing I could ever hear." But you know, Bad Bunny's awesome, and the guy trained so hard. And you know, I can't take away the athleticism and the reps that Logan Paul puts in. I mean, he's great at memorizing athletic moves, I guess, but it's tricky. It's tricky. You know? You got to take it case by case basis, you know.
Yeah. And here today we started the build of the Paul brothers versus Nemeth brothers WrestleMania match for next year.
I'll pass. I'm all right.
In terms of like obviously the impact that people have on wrestling, obviously the growth of the wrestling world in the last few years. Obviously, we've seen WWE in Netflix, but also the partnership with TNA. How do you feel that will help with TNA's growth, if you want to put it that way? Because we have seen a resurgence in popularity with TNA.
Well, you know, I've not been in TNA or working with TNA even long enough to have any answer to that. But I will tell you that in the short time that I've been part of their shows, I have seen firsthand the audience size, the digital views, the TV market share, you know, numbers, and also just the size of the arenas we're running just have gotten bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And, you know, like I said, I'm very new to TNA, but to come in right as that was happening is like so fun, so cool. I think the partnership with WWE is an incredible opportunity because, you know, the first time I went to a TNA show, it was in Las Vegas, and I'll leave the name out of it, but someone wearing a suit came up to me and said, "You wrestle for a lot of companies. What do you think we could, you know, what do you think, good and bad?" And I said, "The production is incredible. The roster is unbelievably talented and a lot of experience, a lot of new people, a lot of variety. And the variety, I love a variety show. I don't want to see flippy matches for 3 hours, you know?"
Yes.
I like to see some of those. I like to see, you know, Steph DeLander and PCO getting married. I like to, you know, like all the, I love all the variety. And you just need more eyes on it. You have the perfect product here. And that's just started to happen, which is so great. And having Joe Hendry in the Royal Rumble is huge. And you know, we're doing back and forth matches with NXT and WWE guys. Like my brother and I are challenging for the NXT Tag Team Championship, which is...
Yes. And I'm very excited about this because obviously
it's full circle. It's very strange because I was telling some of my buddies I was in NXT with, I texted them and said, I sent the announcement to them and I said, "It's like the last few years never happened. I'm still living in Florida, still in NXT. And you know, like time doesn't exist." I think I told them.
I was going to say,
speaking of your time in NXT, like how did you enjoy it being there? Did you like wrestling under a different name? Was it, how does it compare to your time in TNA and your time on the Indies?
Wow, it's hard to compare them because one wouldn't have happened without the other one, probably, you know? I love the name Bradley Pierce. I chose that name. And so when people will often, again, the superheroes on the internet deciding, "Oh, they just gave him that stupid name, that, you know, classic developmental name," I'm thinking, "Hey, I thought of that name, dude."
So where does Briley Pierce come from as a name for you?
Briley is the real life last name of Danny Davis, who owned OVW when I was there. And he was my first, he taught me how to hit the ropes and how to bump. He was the first guy ever. And he gave me so many opportunities. Him and Jim Cornette gave me so many opportunities to be showcased in OVW on TV at a time when I had no business doing that. I didn't barely know how to lock up or do a body slam, and they were putting me in like huge title matches on their shows and having me, you know. And so I just wanted to, I thought it was a fun name that was very unique, and give him a little secret, you know, credit.
Cool.
In terms of your obviously up and coming tag team match that you've got, obviously, you are working with your brother. does that excite you, or do you feel like there's a sense, have you always been like competitive brothers when you were growing up?
Well, I pursued wrestling really when I decided to, because I wanted to eventually travel the world wrestling with my brother, you know? And so it didn't happen when I was in NXT. They gave me a different name, and like, when they would mention we're brothers on commentary, it would be edited out. Like I would be at Full Sail hearing, like watching, hearing the commentary. And then when I would watch it later, it would be gone. I'm like, is it not interesting to have family members in this, you know? Mm-hmm. Obviously I love family members. And then, you know, I was trying to get him to leave WWE and join AEW for years, and that didn't work. So I was just thinking for so long, why is it so crazy that we would be together doing something? And then when TNA basically said, hey, here's this idea we have for you and your brother. And I thought, why did this take so long for someone to think that? That's the only reason I started wrestling in the first place. But, you know, it's like the American canned food Chef Boyardee says, good food takes time. And I guess brother takes time too.
So obviously as a brother tag team now, as you're going to be wrestling for the NXT tag team titles, I'm going to ask, is there like a dream tag team match for you guys to have? I mean, the obvious one in TNA for you guys, I assume, would be to wrestle the Hardys at some point.
I think in TNA, the dream would be to have the Nemeth brothers pick up some steam, get some wins under our belt, and I think it would be generationally incredible to have the Nemeth versus the Hardys. Oh, my God. But, yeah. You know, friends of mine for so long now, since they were just coming to LA and wrestling in PWG, and I would do tours of Australia with them, the Young Bucks, I would love for Ryan Nemeth and Nick Nemeth to get in the ring with Matt Jackson and Nick Jackson. You know, we wrestled the Lucha Bros this past summer in LA, and that was one of my most favorite matches ever, you know. And that was kind of an accident. I think someone dropped out of the show and they said, what if you guys wrestle them? And we were like, let's do it, you know? And so I think that was technically the first time my brother and I ever tagged together, was against the Lucha Bros, I think. Or maybe it was the second. But yeah, I think I love to plant a seed and have your show go viral with the Nemeth family challenging the Jackson family. That would be great. And we could bring both of our dads to the match, you know?
Well, we all heard that. That's what we want. Yeah. Nemeth brothers versus the Young Bucks. Let's make it happen.
Whenever I have a special moment on TNA programming, I wear these shoes.
Oh.
And this is the Young Bucks shoe. And I always... I know they love Easter eggs and little hidden things and moments like that. So I like to always try to get their shoes on pay-per-view because I want to fight them. I think they're great. I think they're very talented, and they've been great friends to me all along. But I think two brothers against two brothers, and we could do the match in Los Angeles. I think that would be great, hometown. I think the Nemeth and the Bucks.
I'd be down for Nemeth and the Bucks. Yeah, I'd be down for that.
I want to see it.
I mean, we have no power, but let's make that happen. Like, can we book
let's
that?
Make this
can
viral.
We have that power? Yeah.
Yeah, to tell Rev Pro. No, I don't know where that would happen, but we would love to. You know, we have a lot in common. We have a lot of, you know, they've had so many great matches with the Lucha Bros and the Hardys. And, you know, it would be tricky where that would happen. Maybe Japan somewhere. I don't know.
I think Rev Pro, let's do it here in Bethnal Green. Let's make that happen.
Yeah. Let's do it in London.
Get you to TNA. You do it in TNA, or you can do it here. We can go to Charles Dickens' grave afterwards. We'll have a great time. It'll be awesome.
That's true, yeah. Maybe TNA can do a big pay-per-view in London, and then we can all gather there and take it from there, you know?
I would love that. Before we head to your dinner party selection, I just have one last question regarding your current movements within TNA. What's it like to be clotheslined from hell by JBL?
You know, I've only been punched by JBL, so I will tell you that getting punched by JBL in the face, and it's always hit me right here, is very painful. So
he's a big old strong man.
Yeah, he's big and his hands are real big. He's, I don't know how tall that guy. What is he, like 6'5" or something? He's enormous. He's a big man.
Yeah, 6'7" in the cowboy hat, you know.
Oh my God, the hat's so big too.
Big old hat.
That's another thing when people say like, oh, you know, but it's scripted. He pulls a punch. Yeah. I'm like, no, that's just getting punched. That's just a punch.
When you get punched like by sort of like when do you, like start joking aside, when you get punched by someone like JBL or someone that you sort of, I assume, sort of grew up watching around that era, is that like surreal for you still to like someone that you grew up watching his other stuff?
Say the same thing about the first time I wrestled Billy Gunn. It was the same thing. You know? But I can't believe this, but you know.
Yeah, so you were doing his catchphrase in your living room when you were a kid. Yeah.
Yeah. The pain is real, but also, you know, before and after, you're like, yeah, hell yeah, dude. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Let's go on to your dinner party picks. We obviously asked you, as normal with all our guests on the club, to pick three of your favorite wrestlers, or maybe not favorite wrestlers, someone that you would be interested to bring over to your dinner party. It may not even have to be a wrestler, but someone involved in wrestling. So let's hear what your picks are now.
Oh, wow. I made a list of non-wrestlers, but now you're challenging me. Okay.
No, you can have non-wrestlers if you want to.
Non-wrestlers, yeah.
Now, I might name more than three people here, because when you said wrestlers, I started to think, oh, there's so many I would rather. Okay, I'm gonna tell you the three that I said who are not wrestlers.
Okay.
Chris Farley, who is my favorite comedic actor ever.
Solid choice, yeah.
And, you know, I've always been very inspired by the way that he would portray innocence and sympathy and get you drawn in. But he's so athletic and, you know, the guy was doing backflips on stage at Second City. I'm obsessed with him. I'm so fascinated with him. So I would love to just talk to him. And he played rugby too. That guy played rugby in college.
I bet you I can tell you what position he played. He was definitely prop forward, right? That's good.
Had to be forward. Yeah, must have been.
Had to be.
I would say, who would be next out of these two? Okay, you know, someone who I think is so funny, and she passed away a little while ago, Jan Hooks, which is another SNL Saturday Night Live star from the 90s. Mm-hmm. I think she's so funny, and I can't think about her without thinking of Paul Rubens, who is known mostly as Pee Wee Herman. Mm-hmm. Great buddy of mine. I met him at WrestleMania the day before I started at FCW and NXT, and we kept in touch all through then. And what a bummer when he passed away. That was so heartbreaking. Okay, wrestling people.
You'll say Paul Rubens also, I think, was like during the whole Raw guest GM era, was one of one of the few ones that was genuinely brilliant, because they just did it like Pee Wee's Playhouse and it was so fun.
Yeah, he's the best. And he was so cool. He asked if he can come watch one of our FCW shows one night, and he drove into town and he got an FCW program and went around asking all the wrestlers to sign it. And they were like, but you're the famous person. We should be. These people go on to become massive stars and all that. And I had an awesome class. It's people like Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins, even Corey Graves back then. Anyone in the Shield, the Wyatt family, New Day, all those guys just being like, Pee Wee wants our audience. I loved him. And okay, so who do I want to have for dinner? Who's a wrestler? I think Big E. I would like to hang out with him some more. Big E Langston.
I would love to hang out with Big E.
Yeah, we know you'd love to hang out with Big E.
When I first started lifting weights at Hard Knock South at John Cena's, you know, like we would have to go do mandatory strength and conditioning there, I would look around the gym and like think I'm lifting weights next to bit to E, you know, and I would just think, man, there's so many muscles in this place right now. It's pretty awesome, you know? And I think I said that to Trent Barreto one time. He's like, yeah, it is pretty fucking cool, man. Everyone here's got giant muscles, and you're way more motivated to like lift. That's all. But I love him. He's one of the funniest people, smartest people. And, you know, I like to giggle. And speaking of giggling, I would say Luke Harper, who you might call by a different name, John, or Brody Lee, one of my best friends ever, funniest guys ever. And we would ride to every show together back in FCW and NXT and have the best times ever, whether you were happy or sad or mad. one of the funniest dudes ever. So I just, my phone, I got this new phone and it sent me all these texts from like years ago that my other phone didn't have. It like uploaded from the cloud or something. It was a lot of texts with him and it was very sad and happy at the same time. Oh, I'm getting emotional. Sorry.
So, I mean, but, whenever you hear anyone talk about Brody, Luke, it's, no one has anything bad to say about him ever.
No, he's great. He's awesome. Yeah. But yeah, it was really cool to find those, like, just, and then a bunch of group texts were in together, and damn, it's unbelievable that he's gone. Who else? I've given you five now. This is too many. Maybe I can pick one more.
We're going to give you one more. Give us one more.
Give us one more. You know, I'm going to say Norman Smiley.
Oh, yeah, the big wiggle. Let's do this. Yeah, that's a great call.
We mostly only talk through texting now. So I hate needles, okay? Just hate needles. I have a very lifelong problem where when I have a blood drawn or an injection, I will pass out, you know? And so when they started coming to do, you know, like blood day at FCW NXT, I didn't want anyone to know that, so I got there early, and I thought, I'll help the nurse or the phlebotomist, you know, set up her equipment. I'll play it cool. I'll trick myself into being very confident about this. And by the time it was ready to go, the whole roster is lined up behind me. And I told you who my class was. You know, anyone who's anyone now is basically there with me. And I'm the first one in line, and she ties the thing around my arm, the little rubber tube, you know. And I want to distract myself, and I don't want to let anyone know that I'm scared. So I said, can I tell you about my dogs? And she said, sure, what kind of dogs do you have? And my head just, bam, just slapped against the table.
Taking a bump off a needle.
Yeah. And no, not even that. So then I woke up and I said, oh, my God, is it over? And she said, no, you passed. I didn't get to take anybody. You passed out. I can't do it while you're, you know, blacked out. And so that was awful. So Norman was one of my coaches then. And he said, let's go to the other part of the arena. Squeeze my hand and let's just do this. I said, okay. And I just, you know, squeezed his hand. They took it and it was over. And then any blood day from that point on, he would go, let me know when you're ready. Let's go. And I was like, all right, you know? And so he's always my blood guy. So anytime there's a blood day at NXT, he'll text me, blood day, thinking of you.
That's a great story. I love that.
And the few times I can do it on my own at the doctor without passing out, I'll send him a selfie and go, didn't black out thinking of you. And he's like, hey.
That's so sweet.
Yeah, he's great.
Yeah.
Well, they're great picks for a dinner party. What would you cook?
What do we? Oh, he's from England, right? Somewhere.
He's an English boy.
Perfect. What would we cook? Oh, man. You know, I like to smoke chicken thighs. So maybe I'd smoke some chicken thighs. I have a kind of a grill smoker thing. Maybe that's boring. I would, you know, but it's easy to stand around and watch, you know, and smells good while it's cooking. Maybe
have a little chat around it.
A little chat, yeah, kind of like around a fire, you know, hang out.
That sounds good.
I like it. Well, thank you very much for joining us. Before we let you leave, we appreciate your time, especially on your busy schedule. We will give you a 60-second challenge now, where I will give some quick fire questions. Tim, will you be able to count me down?
Tim's not still
sorry.
Here.
Hello. Yes. Sorry.
hey, Tim.
All the power Tim's just asleep. Went off in my house real quick. It was a bit worrying.
Oh, what?
Like all the power just went off.
Have we been recording this whole time?
Yeah, no, the recording's fine. It's on my laptop. Everything's good. But like, just as you said that, like all the lights just went out in my room. It was quite scary, honestly.
Maybe anyway. I'll get some powers.
And then the Undertaker appeared behind you. It was very, very.
Like, oh God!
Hey, I like the AJ Styles one.
Oh yeah, that was good. Oh yeah, that's a great meme. I love that. Are we good to do the 6 second sim? Are we good to go?
You want me to do a timer? Yeah.
I mean, please. Because Mark's on his phone.
And I mean, I have clocks in my house.
Hang on. All right. I'm ready to go.
Ready?
Yeah.
Are you ready, Ryan?
Yeah, sure.
60 seconds. It has to be quick answers. First thing that comes to your head. Okay, let's go. 3, 2, 1. Would you rather be super kicked by your brother or punched by JBL?
Super kick by my brother.
If you could form a faction with any wrestlers from past or present, who would you choose?
Trent Beretta, The Bucks, and Andy Kaufman.
Oh, nice.
What's something fans might be surprised to learn about you?
I am under my skin. It's all like the Terminator.
Who would win in a straight one-on-one match between you and Nick?
Well, I think we're going to find out someday.
Ooh. Yeah.
Who has the best finisher in the game?
Oh, I love the pedigree. No offense to anybody else. I love it. I think it's so great.
Who would be your ideal WrestleMania opponent?
Dominic. Prison Dom. Prison Dom.
Oh, yeah.
What would be the name of your memoir?
I Can Make Out With Any Girl Here, part two.
All right. That's time.
Okay.
What? We got a lot.
What a note to end on. I could make out of any girl part two is all you need.
What's next for you, Ryan?
Oh, I'm glad you asked. I just got cool news. I am outside of wrestling, I think it's 21 and 22 in New York City. I'm going to be in a play. And once that is like officially a public thing, I'll start posting about it everywhere. But if you live in New York City and you want to see Ryan Nemeth in an off-Broadway play, I will be there. And I'm so excited about that. We start rehearsals tomorrow. What else? Stranglehold, the movie directed by Clark Duke, will be coming out sometime this year. I don't know when, but I'm in that and I'm excited. It's gonna be a good movie. TNA is coming to Los Angeles April 27th. We're also going to do a Hunkamania comedy show probably the night before that. Just follow me everywhere because there's going to be a lot of events coming up with TNA, NXT, and comedy shows and stuff. So, yeah, you know, it's overwhelming the amount of things that will be happening in the next 2 or 3 months.
We would love to come down and watch, but we can't afford tickets to go to America.
We can't get to
America
LA.
Twice. But we will, in the last 2 years. We'll be like, no.
We will get Ryan Nemeth to the UK eventually, though. We will see Dickens' grave, and we will have Nemeth wrestle the Bucks in the York Hall in Bethnal Green. That's going to happen.
You know, if in the same weekend I could visit Charles Dickens' grave and wrestle the Young Bucks, I think that would life. What else do you need to do? That's it.
Let's do it. Let's get it done.
Any British wrestling organization, just listen to what we're saying. Is all.
Come on, let's Wrestle Club Podcast team up with some faction or organization within the UK to get Ryan over here. Let's make his dreams come true.
Oh, you guys, thank you. I can't wait.
Cool.
Well, thank you so much, Ryan, and thank you very
Thanks
much for taking the time out.
I was really nervous about the 60-second quiz, but it was not so bad.
Yeah, I'm more intimidating in person.
Well, I need to find out.
It's true. She's terrifying. You don't want to go there. you think JBL hits hard. This is what you're worried about.
Oh, no.
Well, thank you so much. And I hope you enjoy the rest of your evening.
Get some rest.
Thank you. This has been Wrestle Club Podcast along with Ryan Nemeth. Thank you so much. Ciao.
Oh my God. Despite the fact that we called him Nick twice, lovely.
He was really nice, wasn't he? I think he's an absolute sweetheart. Like, he also so many facets to his game. He's doing so many things.
Yeah.
I want to see him do comedy now as well. I've not seen that. So let's try.
Yeah, I really am intrigued by it.
Yeah. And as we said, you know, if British wrestling organizations want to bring the Nemeths versus the Bucks, I think we're all down for that.
Defo. I would be so down for that. And if anyone wants to get me a front row ticket, lovely.
It's pretty much Rev Pro or nothing, isn't it? Rev Pro seems to be the ones that are going to be able to do that, if anyone.
Or Progress.
I don't know what that works with the AEW guys.
Oh, true.
Mm.
Fair. Well, if you enjoyed our episode of the Wrestle Club UK podcast, please do like and subscribe. Please do tell your friends to give us a follow. We are back, baby, for a new season. And we are on the road to WrestleMania.
WrestleMania! And we will, I assume, be doing some sort of special content around Mania time.
We will do.
I am committing to nothing, but we will do something. Maybe we'll have another special guest are on the caliber of what we've had now. Again, yes. I'm not promising anything, but I am going to reach out to whoever I can.
Paul Heyman again.
I mean, if Paul Heyman's watching and wants to do the podcast, he's more than welcome.
Oh, that'd be great.
Or anyone who is of any real name value.
It's been a pleasure this week to be joined by main event Mark Cram.
It's been a pleasure to be here. Much love to you. Much love to Ryan. It was lovely chatting to you both.
And I have been Sikisa, aka The Head of the Table. We will see you next week.
A flying clothesline, a 2x4 to the face. Then she hits you with a turnbuckle splash. Wrestle Club Podcast with Sikisa. It's her and her friends, and they talk about wrestling, every kind of wrestling. Woo!